I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So it's the Paul Zeiss Show. We are moving right along here. We've got Kevin with us for a couple of minutes. Just Kevin, you just heard that Jeff Capel got a recruit, and I know that Pitt's fan base was losing their minds because he was losing out on a lot of guys. This guy's a top 50 player. It looks like he had some
top
pretty good other offers
top
in the Power 5 offers. What?
Top 150.
Top 150. Top 150 player, had some really good offers. Looked like he had a number of Power 5 offers. So it's a start. He's a wing, but this class is really going to be judged by whether or not he gets a big guy, right?
He needs a big guy. He's got two guys that he's working on. And you got me to put me on the spot. Kareem Kubelay, I believe the kid's name is. He's from Pennsylvania. He goes to the Scotland school, which I don't know where exactly it is, but it's in the middle of the state somewhere. He's a big center that he's going after. But you're right. He's missed out on a couple of big guys that kind of gotten some people waiting and waiting and waiting, sitting on pins and needles for him to get that big guy. Because that's the glaring weakness of this team right now. They don't have a good enough low post present consistently. They get a good game out of Terrell Brown every once in a while. But East Tony has played well, but, I mean, he's not someone I don't think that anyone expected to be the third best player on the team this year. Kenny Chiwoko is, again, serviceable for 10 minutes a game or something like that. But he needs to get a big guy. And he's working on a couple guys, as I said. This was a nice one, though, too, because he wanted to get athletic wing players, slashers, things like that. And more importantly, guys that can shoot. When you have guys like Xavier Johnson and Trey McGowan's that can get into the middle, if they have a threat that they can kick it out to from 3-point range, then that's going to help them. That's going to help everybody.
Yeah,
and
I think it sounds like this guy is a piece that will fit. I know Pitt fans were really sort of wondering whether or not Capel was going to start landing some guys. I mean, I think the bottom line is he's doing the best he can do right now. And really, he's going to get a couple of players. But they're going to have to win a little bit before you start really going head-to-head with some of the top programs. I mean, I think this is a good start. But they're probably going to have to go grad transfer route or maybe the JUCO route to get a big man, because it sounds like he's struck out on just about every high school big man he's tried to go get.
Right. He's, like I said, there's one or two more that he is trying to get, but it's far enough down the list that I don't know how effective those guys can be in the ACC for next year, 20 ACC games, and to have 25, 30 minutes a game. So I think you're right. I think, you know, we might see him get one of these guys that he's still targeting, but also try to add another big body via a grad transfer or something like a JUCO so that he can bring the recruit that he's, you know, hoping to get for the 2019 class, that freshman. He can work him in. He doesn't have to depend on him for 30 minutes a game, especially, as I said, next year. The schedule's tough enough in the ACC anyway. Next year they expanded two more games. There's 20 ACC games, so it's just even more difficult, you know, as these guys go on.
And I think the thing about it is, if you really think about it, Kevin, 20 ACC games might not actually benefit Pitt next year.
Right,
because
right.
Depending on what your two games are that you get. Now, I think that the other thing is, it's another goal, 3-0, it looks like. The other thing is, Gensel, the other thing is, if you think about it, Jared Wilson Frame and, help me out, the other senior.
Sidi Andir, grad transfer.
Those are two of the better players on the team, and
they're
going to have to replace them. See, that's what makes it tough to rebuild quickly, because you lose a couple of your best players.
And I think I think Pitt will have six scholarship openings this offseason. I don't think he's going to use all six. I don't think it would be wise for him to use all six, especially he's definitely not going to bring in six freshmen. He's going to, you know, as we said, maybe use a graduate transfer, maybe one or two of those where he can get that scholarship right back for the next year. You know, as a, just as a stopgap for a position of need. Maybe another transfer, JUCO guy. I think he'll probably add, you know, if we count Drumgoole here as one freshman, maybe he'd probably like to get maybe two more and then fill out the rest of the roster with guys that can fill a void from the guys that are departing this year, but then he can get that scholarship right back.
Yeah, so you look at where they're at. I think this last week, I here's my thing. I know that they didn't win last year at all, a game in the ACC. I can't see how you could spin last week as anything but disappointing, because I thought you had two games that were really legitimately winnable. You needed to come away with one of those two, and you didn't.
I thought the Wake Forest one was really, really disappointing.
They're terrible.
Right.
Danny
right.
Manning is terrible. I mean,
if it jumped out, it was 8-0.
He's
got
to get fired,
road.
Right?
I think he has to. But you're on the road. You jump out to a team that is, like you said, is a terrible basketball team, really mightily struggling. You jump out to an 8-0 lead on them, and then that's when you have a senior leadership type guy, or you just got to put your foot down and just pound that team. And they let them back in, and they kept letting them back in. Every time Pitt looked to build a lead, they would go cold, and Wake Forest would rattle off 6, 7, 8 straight points. That was the one that was disappointing to me. I don't think NC State's a great team, but they have some pieces that make them a nice team. They have some nice players on that team. I didn't expect them to win that game. Tomorrow's a game that they should be able to be pretty competitive.
Right,
in.
And that's the thing. You know, there's some games kind of coming up that, you know, and then you see a team like Miami take North Carolina the wire. You figure that should be a game they can win. But again, all of these teams have good players.
The schedule, actually, it's kind of funny. In the ACC, you crisscross a certain amount of games, but you play a lot of teams once. In Pitt, really, just it's just complete bad luck. They play the really, really winnable teams on the road. So that makes it that much tougher. They get NC State, they get Virginia Tech. Those teams they have in February coming to the Pete. Well, they're a little bit better team. So the teams that you think you're probably better at, you have that other obstacle of going on the road, and the home court advantage kind of gets offset because you're playing some good teams at home. And that really has hurt, I believe, too. And Clemson's another one. Clemson, they were terrible when they played. They've started to play so well, and they get Clemson again.
Yeah, I think the thing about Clemson, though, is if you looked at their first five games, I mean, they literally played like
right.
Duke, North Carolina, right. Virginia.
They're not that bad. They're not 1-4, 1-5, whatever they started.
And it's 3-1. I think the biggest thing is they did, in a lot of ways, if you think about it, they have good players. They've got
Clemson.
Clemson
returned. I mean, they were at the tournament last year, and they returned 4 of their starters from last year.
I just think Clemson is going to be a difficult game for them to win. But Miami is not very good, I don't think. And I think that.
But is Miami's another away game, though, right?
Yeah, I think BC is
not
very good.
The games that you would say should win.
Yeah, but my point is, I'm not saying they should win because they really shouldn't beat anyone.
Right.
The winnable games are Boston College. I think Miami is a team that they have a chance to beat that they still play. They still play Georgia Tech, too, don't they? I mean,
I think that's on the road, too. But
it
that's
is.
Again, so their most winnable games are on the road. And that's just, I mean,
and I think
it's
North
just
Carolina, I think Notre Dame stinks, too.
I do, too.
So they should, I mean, here's the thing. If they go, say, you know, the rest of this year without winning a game, I don't care what happened last year. It's a real disappointment.
I agree. Well, you asked me at the very beginning of the season. You said, what was the over? You set the over under at 4.5. And I said, I'd take the over because I thought 5.
Right.
When they started out 2-1, I thought 5 looked really good. And, you know, they're hitting a wall, some of these freshmen. The minutes that Johnson and McGowan's are playing are just unbelievable, the workload that they've gotten. And Deer being hurt for the beginning, that hurt.
But I'm just saying they need to win one or two of these games.
Right.
If they go all the way, you know, the rest of this season and don't win again, I don't think it's good. I don't. I mean, I don't think there's any way you can spin it. I just think that they've got to win one or two more games just to show that they, you know, are making a little bit of progress.
I would agree with that, and I think they will. I said five at the beginning of the season. I don't think they're getting a five, but I think they can get three, maybe four, maybe five. I don't know, but five looks like an outside. It looks a little bit on the outside right now. I feel confident that they can get to four, though.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.